Hello, my name is Chris Reisner, and I'm a technical evangelist for Microsoft. Here at Microsoft, I focus on Windows Azure and connectivity with mobile applications. Today, I'm going to talk to you about connecting Android applications into Windows Azure mobile services. Specifically, I'm going to talk about connecting an existing Android application into mobile services and taking advantage of the structured data storage that it provides. In addition to structured data storage, mobile services provides a number of other features, including push notifications, authentication, and many other things that we'll talk about in future videos. Let's go ahead and get started by looking at the application I already have. So I'm in Eclipse right now. I'm going to go ahead and run my application. And I'll go over to my emulator. So basically what I have is a very simple to-do list. Add items to my to-do list. And that's really it right now. There's no other features to it. And if I turn off the application, if I kill the application and start it again, my data won't be there because it's not really being stored anywhere. What I really want to do is connect this to the cloud so my data will be stored in the cloud, and whenever I run the app, I can pull the data down, and whenever I add new items, they'll be stored there. Let's take a look at doing that. First thing we'll do is go to the Windows Azure portal. Here I am, and I'm looking at mobile services. First thing I'll do is create a new mobile service. I'm going to name this Android Data Demo. It's going to check to make sure the name's available. And I'm going to tell it I want to create a new SQL database and put it this all in the West US region. In the next step, I can choose what my database name is going to be. I'll just use the default. And then I can choose to either create a new SQL database server or use an existing one. I'll just go ahead and use an existing one. It's going to make sure my credentials are right. And now it's going to start creating it. Behind the scenes, a lot's happening right here. It's spinning up my internet endpoint, so my mobile service actually has a web address to talk to. Creating the mobile service that it's going to run on. And then it's creating the things that underlie mobile services, as well as the database that mobile services rely on. Great, my mobile service is created. So the first thing I'll do is click into my mobile service, and I'm taken to a quick start page. The quick start page gives me a list of available platforms that we have client SDKs that you can connect to those platforms. Now today we're going to do Android. But one important thing I want to point out is that you don't have to create one mobile service for each of these platforms. I can create an Android app right now and connect it to this mobile service, and then I can create an iOS app and connect to the exact same mobile service. You should be able to use the same mobile service for all of your app platforms that you're making your app on. So we're in Android. The first step is create a new Android app, if we want to, or the first guide, rather. Now, if you follow along with this, you get to download a quick start templated application, which is actually a to-do list. Now, it doesn't look exactly the same as the to-do list I created for this demo, but it already has some of the capabilities we're going to do today, which is add in data storage. So we're actually going to follow the second path, which is to create or connect an existing Android app. Now the first step is to download the Android SDK for mobile services. I've actually already done that, and I've got those files right here. So what I'm going to do is just copy these libraries over and put it in the lib directory for my project. Now that I've done that, if I go back to Eclipse and I go to the libs folder and I refresh it, we should see that we now have a number of different libraries. So we have the ones for the mobile services SDK, we have an HTTP client library from Apache, and then a JSON library from Google, which will help us do serialization and deserialization for JSON data. Now let's go back to the portal for just a second. Before I go to my app and start working there, what I really want to do is go to the Data tab and add a new table. So we're just going to name this table To-Do Item, and we'll leave the permissions for each of the operations as is. That table is going to get created, and now we can return to Eclipse. So the first thing we'll do here is we're going to go into our to-do item class. This is kind of our data object that currently is how we store each to-do item. We're going to use the same object, just enhance it a little bit for use with mobile services. The first thing we're going to do is add some serialization options. Now, if I use this item as is, it would basically create columns named text and complete as they are. I'm just going to add some options just to change the names of those columns a little bit, just so you can see how it's done. So basically here I'm just saying, whenever I serialize or deserialize my text column or field, just to make it text with a lowercase. And likewise here, I'm just going to do complete with lowercase. Not something you necessarily have to do, just something I would like to show you guys how to do. Now, when you save data with mobile services, you automatically get an ID column in each of your tables. And this column is a unique key for each row. Now I need to add that ID property into my local object as well. So I'll go ahead and do that now. So I have my ID, and now I'll actually do the serialization for that as well. So basically, I'm just saying store it and retrieve it as ID. Now we need to add the accessors and setters for our ID property. And with that done, now I just need to add a constructor that will that takes in a text and an ID property. Now that's done, we can go over to our to-do list class and start working on that. First thing we're going to do is add a couple of properties to track our mobile service client and our mobile service table. Now that we've added these, we need to actually add the import statements as well. So basically, we have a mobile service client, which we use to get access to our mobile service, and then we have a mobile service table that takes in its templated class of the to-do item. So this is saying that whenever we use mToDo table, it's a to-do item table, essentially. Now we'll go down into the onCreate method, and we're going to add the code to actually instantiate our mobile service here. Now, we need to pass in the URL and the application key for our mobile service. Let's go fetch those now. We'll go back to the portal, we'll go to the dashboard, and over here on the right side we see we have our mobile service URL. Let's go ahead and copy that, and we'll paste that in right here. Now, in addition, we need an application key. If we go to Manage Keys in the dashboard, we can copy that over as well. When we do this, it's basically saying whenever we do any operations with our mobile service client, we want to send the application key over as a header. Now let's create set up our to-do item table. Now, as you can see here, we've passed the to-do item class in again, we're passing it in here. So it's basically just saying again, we want the table that maps to the to-do item class. Now, the last thing we're going to do is we're going to call a method that we have below that isn't doing anything yet, just to refresh the items. Now here, we need to catch a malformed URL exception, and that's because when we create our mobile service right here, if the URL doesn't work, doesn't match what it should be, we're going to catch an error, so we want to be able to handle that. Right now, we're just going to go ahead and log that. Alright, so that works out great. Now, the next step that we need to do is actually add the capability to insert new items. So we'll go back up here to this onClick listener that's added to the Add Item button. So right now all it's doing is adding the data locally into the list adapter. We're going to go ahead and comment that out because that's not what we want to do anymore. Instead, what we're going to do is use the to-do item table to insert the data. So what I've done here is said that I want to use the to-do item table, or the to-do table, pass in the insert method, and we're going to call the insert method, we're going to pass in our new item, which we're generating right up here, and then I have a callback, and this callback is basically what code's going to be called when we hear back from our mobile service. First thing we're going to do is check to see if there was an exception. Provided there was no exception, we'll check to see if make sure that the entity we get back, the to-do item, isn't complete. Provided it isn't, we'll go ahead and we'll add the entity to our list adapter. And last, we will reset the edit text field so that it's no longer showing whatever the text of the to-do item we just added was. Now, if there was an exception, we're just going to go ahead and log that. Now, we should be able to run our application right now and add some to-do items. Let's go ahead and do that. So, we'll add test day. We'll add test B. And we'll add test D. Now, in theory, what happened is we clicked the add button, it went to the server and said added the item, it came back, and then we added it locally to our list adapter. Let's make sure that actually happened by going back to the portal and checking our data. Go to the data tab, we'll click on the two item table, and we should see we have an ID, a text, and a complete column. Now, it automatically creates the ID column, but it also uses something called dynamic schematization to look at the data we send over and automatically create the text and complete column. And as you can see, the data there is showing up correctly. We have the test A, B, and C, and all of them are marked incomplete. Now, if we actually stop the application right now and rerun it, we're not actually going to see any of that data because we're not pulling the data down when the application starts. Let's go ahead and fix that now. So now that we're back in our Eclipse, let's go to the refresh items for table method. This is where we're actually going to say to the server, hey, give me all the items that aren't complete. So we'll again use the mToDo table, and we'll call its where method. Now, there's a lot of methods you could pass in after that to basically create filters and queries according to what you want. Today we're going to say we want to get all the items where complete is not true, it's false. So we say complete equals value of false dot execute, and we get another callback that basically gets called once we've heard back from the server. So inside here, we again check to make sure the exception is null. Provided it is, we're going to go ahead and clear our list adapter because we don't want to keep any of the items that are already there. And then we're going to go through each of the items that came back. And we're going to add that to our list adapter. Lastly, there was an exception, we'll just go ahead and log that. Now, we should be able to run our application, and after just a second, we should see those to-do items show up again. Great, so now we're actually loading the to-do items when our app launches. The last step today is to enable marking items complete. So in order to do that, the first thing we'll do is go to to-do list and we'll add a new method named markItemComplete. That method is going to take in a to-do item, being the item it should actually mark complete. First thing we'll do is we'll call setComplete on that item and say it is complete. Then we'll use the mToDo table yet again. We'll call update on it. We'll pass in the item. And we'll create a new callback for it. Inside this callback, yet again, we'll check to see if the exception is null. If it is, we're going to check to make sure the entity is complete. And then we will remove that item from our list adapter. And then, as always, we'll check to make sure there wasn't an error. We'll log the error if there was one. So now all we need to do is actually call this method. So we're going to go into our to-do array adapter, which has the getView method, which is called for each view that gets created. Now as you can see in here, when we create that, we create a to-do item property called currentItem and make it final. That way it'll be accessible inside of the click listener we've already created for that update item, or complete item rather. Now inside that onClick listener, all we're doing right now is getting instance of the to-do list that's currently showing up on screen. So what we need to do here is we're just going to use that activity to call markItemComplete and pass in the current item. Now, if we run our application, we should be able to actually mark items complete. So we have our three items. Let's just go ahead and mark test B complete. So we see it went away, so it should have gone to the server and come back and showed up as updated. Let's go ahead and check and make sure test B is showing up as complete. Today we saw just how easy it is to take an existing Android application and connect it into mobile services and take advantage of structured storage. In future videos, we're going to talk about adding in push notifications, handling authentication, and many more features that mobile services enables you very easily to add to your Android applications. Thanks for watching, and tune in for videos coming soon.